Liz Miller, and welcome to Otherwear, the show designed to help you get a handle on your hologram. It's fantastic to be back after a three-month break while I DJed over the summer down here in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm delighted to have your company for this very special first new show for 2007 with our extraordinary and brilliant upcoming guest, spiritual guide and multidimensional energetic healer during this planet's ascension cycle, Lisa Renee. It's going to be a superb program, and I just want to say right off the bat that I do so appreciate the patience all the regular listeners have exercised while I've been away, and I hope that this widely anticipated upcoming dialogue with Lisa makes it all worthwhile. If you haven't heard this program before, this comes to you from Otherwear HQ in Melbourne. During the next 2 hours, prepare to have your mind expanded in new and unexpected ways as Lisa and I discuss the spiritual mechanics of ascension. We haven't caught up with Lisa since she first appeared on the show last May, so I'm looking forward to an update from her very much. Last time we spoke, we had a fascinating dialogue about the indigo races and the role of star seeds on Earth at this time. We'll pick up that captivating conversation and discuss the positive effects this is having on the global consciousness and take our chat into even deeper territory. Lisa is a galactic emissary for the Guardians and a spokesperson for the shift of humanity to ascension. She is based in Santa Monica, California, and she'll be joining us when Otherwear returns. But first, let's begin with a bit of music from King Street Records. It's fabulous to have them as our supporters here at Otherwear because we're always getting such brilliant music from them. This one is no exception from the Ananda Project. Ananda, meaning peace, and it's just fabulous. It's called Universal Love, and here it is.
Faces, Truth About the Afterlife, and you're listening to Liz Miller on Otherwear.
Welcome back. You've just been listening to a brand new promo from the Ananda Project, which is due for release on March the 12th on New York City's King Street Records and proud supporter of Otherwear. It's called Universal Love, and it's from an upcoming CD called Fireflower. And this one is going to be one of the singles off the album. Check it. For all those who've been looking forward to hearing this interview with Lisa Renee, I have a couple of special treats. For those who aren't aware, Lisa was scheduled to be on the show in mid-February, around the time Mercury went retrograde, and we both had some very bizarre technological failures that prevented us from getting together on the phone. So when we finally did get to chat, we ended up having so much to say that I've got enough material for two whole shows. Today you'll hear part one of our interview, and at the end of the program, Lisa will guide us all through an introductory grounding and 12th dimensional shield meditation, which we will repeat again next week in a longer and more detailed format. But first, I've decided to also let you all listen to a private conversation Lisa and I had prior to the beginning of this interview. And it's okay, I did tell her I was going to use it, where we discuss our intentions for our work and this internet radio broadcast. It'll give you a sneak peek into the Lisa Renee I know and love in a more casual mode. And through our discussion, I think it'll be a much better way for me to convey to all of you why I do this program and what Lisa's and my intentions are for it. Enjoy. I don't want to do a show that's less than it could be.
Yeah.
And I guess there are some fears that I have around that have been creating all of these weird situations.
I totally understand that too. I mean, and also I wanted to say, my God, I mean, when you gave me the outline, it was just so amazing and kind of probably, I don't know if that's like above the, I mean, your questions are unbelievable. I was thinking, wow, we could have 10 shows off of this, you know?
Yeah, I knew that I would have way too many questions.
But, it's awesome. Thank you. But I was just thinking, you know, this is, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think it's kind of, you know, you and I kind of share a bit of that blueprint of being, you know, the information facilitators,
yeah.
You know, we're informational hubs, and so much time goes into, I cannot even tell you how much time goes into things that I don't think people realize how much time it takes to do, and of course I'm not getting paid for that, you know what I mean, it's all free time.
Yep.
And so trying to figure out, you know, how to balance and be more, let's say, you know, conserving of energy or focused in your energy and have discernment appropriately about what is priority and what isn't.
Yeah.
You know, and then on top of it, you know, there's the whole passion issue. I mean, I'm both, you know, this is our passion, mm-hmm. you know, about getting this level of information available when there really isn't good sources of particular, you know, at least, I mean, there's particular niches, let's put it that way. What I have found is that, and with you too, I have not found this particular flavor of information anywhere. Anywhere.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? And I'm like going, wait a minute. I know I'm not the only one. I know Liz isn't the only other one. So there's got to be somebody here. I mean, it's really kind of funny. You know, because...
The other day I was thinking about what we do with this radio show and what you and I will be doing together, and, you know, three words just popped into my mind, and it was Mystery School Radio. Really trying to keep the integrity of that Mystery School vibe as well, and not just trying to... You know, I'm all for appealing to everybody and trying to make the information as accessible to everybody, but
yeah.
At a certain point, there needs to be someone offering a level of this information that is for people who are really ready for it, and
mm-hmm.
you're doing that. And I want to do that with the radio show and kind of really explore those levels of genius that we all have,
right.
That we can all express the more we heal and clear ourselves. And, you know, it'd be great if there were more people offering...
what I noticed is this. It's like, you know, I'm in the middle... This would be a great example. I'm in the middle of needing to build a website because one of the things I'm getting that I'm feeling those of us that are going into more leadership and stewardship roles, like the past few months, we've been doing a lot of like laying the structure, taking care of business, like almost like preparing for groundwork. We don't even know quite what it's going to be, but we can feel we're getting prepared for something, you know, and there's things we're, you know. So one of these for me is a website. And so I started to actually look. Now, if you go, there's a particular website where you can put in keywords like ascension, spiritual ascension, star seeds. Every site that came up looked not credible, hokey, you know, glittering dolphins going by on the webpage, you know, and I thought, you know, there's nothing wrong with this, but it's time to bring this information to a level of integrity. And, you know, I don't really want to use the word professionalism, but there's something more than that, than the rainbows and butterflies, in terms of the science of this. This is a very detailed science that is emerging, and, you know, I at this point anyway, but goodness knows I have been so focused on my own stuff and so up to my eyeballs with my own stuff, there could be things I'm missing. But, you know, there's very few levels of information out there that have a different level, I would say, you know, informational, credible, you know, appears, you know, I guess more from the science of it, informational, educational, rather than a lot of the same information that's kind of been filtrated out I guess the word New Age and the New Age kind of information.
Yeah, well, at least we're doing something, and hopefully we can inspire others to do the same.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what's propelling us, is we... You know, I will say now, you know, I really have gotten a hone and focus with clarity on what the niche is and what has really been propelling me after a very intense six-month period, and that's kind of a part of the Plan B schedule. But I've really found that really what is propelling me is the fact that there's so many of the soul family or star family, namely the indigo and starseed races, that are pre-wired and coded to be activated for ascension and are beginning to really start to perceive the multidimensional realities. And many of them do not have the tools of understanding. They don't have access to what we're talking about. And that is something that, I will admit, pains me. You know what I mean? And it really kind of fuels the impetus of getting this out there to whoever needs it, because I think the biggest challenge with the awakening process right now, of course, is the feeling of isolation, or, you know, that you're going crazy, you don't understand the process, because there's so many changes that occur, and some of them, if you're not prepared for them, can be frightening, you know. And so that, I think that's really the common thread that I feel and see among, you know, the hundreds of people that contact me from all over the place, all over the world, is that they're just dying for dialogue. There's no place to have the dialogue that they have found. And that's what I endeavor to do, you know, whether it's just starting out as a community, like a Yahoo community, but, you know, however that's going, whether we're going to build that through the internet, however this is going to happen, you know, and that's what I don't have the vision, you know, quite on that, but I can see clearly that that is the big need that is not being fulfilled right now.
Well, before we go any further, I better
I know.
Because we'll end up just having a conversation between the two. And I probably will end up using some of that in the final edit, but...
Yeah.
It serves us well to remember that on our path through life, there will always be those who've come before us and those that will follow behind us. Those who walk a little further ahead have always served as our inspirations and guides as their light and wisdom illuminate our way. Lisa Renee is one such person for me and for a core group of many thousands of individual star seeds and awakening indigos out there in the world, some I know who are listening today. Lisa Renee is an intuitive, a telepathic channel, and a galactic emissary for the Guardians, an interdimensional group of 12th dimensional beings focused on the evolutionary purposes of humankind. Lisa, it's such a pleasure to welcome you to Otherwhere. Thank you so much for giving us your time. Welcome.
Thank you. Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
We're going to have such a great chat. I can't wait to get into it. Tell me about what you've been up to lately.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think, you know, as I write my newsletters that really talk about the current planetary themes, you know, certainly that's living through my own experience. And so lately, what I've noticed that's really been kind of paramount in my life is a certain level of, I would say, stabilizing of my own learning process of working with these new energies that we have been shifted into. I've really started to sense being moved into a multidimensional timeline, like a different type of time and space and orientation in that time and space. And at times, it does definitely feel, in terms of a sense, that when I'm looking at structures of form, that the energy behind those structures even though the structures are appearing the same, into my lens of perception and neurochemistry of what's creating my vision to actually perceive that structure, but I can feel the energy behind it has shifted, and that has been a bit of a mind bender for the Lisa part of me. And now is really, last year was such an ascension wave, and what I sort of themed as the deployment, or the guardians themed as the deployment, of the various beings that are here on this planet, mostly, you know, namely what I refer to as the starseed or indigo races, that are here to really assist in, you know, the moving towards the new paradigm, to be the way showers, the healers, the facilitators or teachers. And so I can feel that I'm getting prepared to be more expanded in the world with this message, and I think more open in my communication, in the ways I discuss my galactic emissary role, in that bringing more awareness to interdimensional beings and the other races that are intricately involved in human evolution at this time.
One of the things that you're most well known for, and I guess, you know, why your energy alerts, Lifting the Veil, which is at Planet Lightworker magazine, are so popular, is because you can really discuss on a much more, well, yes, personal level, but also scientific level, the mechanics of ascension. That's really what you specialize in, isn't it?
I would say so. I would say that there's many more. There's actually other writers that are much more versed, I think, in the physics of it. My issue is that I get these concepts and models and certain information from my guidance, and yet really my part of the personality at this level doesn't really have an extremely educated knowledge in, say, like, say, you know, energy mechanics and the way physics of energy works. So this has kind of been a physics study for me as well, but I do think I managed to impart, you know, the basic science of ascension, in that, you know, ascension has been a word that can be, you know, elicit kind of a confusing response. You know, ascension sounds like we are ascending upward, and in some ways we are, but in actuality, the ascension process is really a descension, because we are bringing our divinity and levels of our God fragments into our cellular consciousness. So the ascension has a very complex science behind it in terms of the mechanics of how consciousness manifests into a form reality. And that's really what ascension is. There's planetary mechanics around this, and there's, you know, all of form and all of consciousness have these particular mechanics or laws as they pertain to the energy physics of the particular time and space governed by that energy. So anyway, I hope that made some sense. But
well, why don't you give us one of those basic laws so that everyone can understand exactly what you're talking about?
Sure, sure. Well, one of the easier ways to kind of understand this is to use our chakra column as a model, because most of us have been educated, you know, the dispensation from the Ascended Masters and the Vedic, you know, texts, you know, through the turn of the century, we became at least, you know, more and more aware of our seven primary chakra system. But what is lesser known at this time is that each one of those chakra layers actually relates to a particular dimension in time and space. So we normally, when we're thinking about our chakras, we're normally not thinking of it as a plane of reality of which exists not only an aspect of ourselves, but many other beings and life forms. So in terms of, let's say, and as an example, we could look at the root chakra, which most of us understand has a reddish color, and those of us that have clairvoyance or healers can often see the wave spectrum that's emanating out of the chakras, and we can see what its color is. You know, there's usually a primary type of color governing that particular energy sphere. And so the root chakra having a reddish wave color spectrum is basically the first dimension, at least in the model I've been provided, to at least have a, you know, an understanding of the layers of octaves of a system, You know, so as the first dimension has a place within our own being, the first dimension in the red wave particle spectrum has certain characteristics and attributes that govern its movement in space. So as we go up the chakra column, and we, you know, most of us too know that, you know, the root chakra, its attributes primarily are about our physicality. It's about how we perceive ourselves in our physical form, our comfort in our physical form, and our connection to the physical realm of the earth. And so those are the particular energy attributes that are governing that particular wave spectrum. And so each one of us, as a part of the human species, will have a similar, let's say, spectrum band of experience when in contact with that particular dimensional quality. And so it goes up the scale, you know, when using, again, the chakras as a model, you know, as we move up, we've got the whole color spectrum, and each one of these colors represents a dimension, a plane of existence of which you have a level of your being that has certain movement and certain emotional, you know, attributes and characteristics of how it moves and how it is expressed through your beingness. So that's kind of like one way to say, in terms of understanding more about, you know, I would say the attributes and characteristics of the physics of energy. You know, and then we get into, if we get into universal, then we start talking about things like the law of cause and effect and the law of attraction and the law of dissipating structures. And that's kind of more about the movement of consciousness through those planes of reality. But how they affect us in this way, that's actually a simple model to kind of understand that these are actually energy wave spectrums in the prism of God consciousness. And so I always love the Pink Floyd album, I think it's The Dark Side of the Moon, you know, that has the beautiful pyramid with, you know, all prisms of the rainbow coming through it. And that's really what our planetary spectrum is we are working with the seven planes, the seven rays of that reality in our third dimensional system. And as we go through ascension, and the time-space mechanics changes and the physics are changing of our reality and we become exposed to more and more energies, we are now going beyond that prism of seven and now being exposed to a whole new plethora of energies to work with. So that's really what's kind of the exciting thing. It's almost like being a kindergartner and getting seven crayons to deal with. You know, you've got seven colors of crayons, and now all of a sudden you got a box of 500, and you don't know where to start now because there's so many pictures to make now with these new colors. I hope that's a good analogy, but yes, that's kind of the best way to describe it.
Yes, it is. Now, one of the things that I'm sure that people are struck by instantly when they hear you speak is you definitely display an obvious high intelligence and a pretty amazing grasp of very deep concepts. And that's part of why you do what you do so well. You're able to share that knowledge with others and, you know, give people a bit of a helping hand when it comes to learning about very new and uncharted territory in many cases. And I guess that during our conversation, we're going to be exploring quite a lot of uncharted territory for many of the listeners out there. Could we just backtrack a little bit, because we were first introduced to you through the show in May last year. Our listeners first got to hear you speak, and I know you made a great impression on everybody.
Well, thank you.
We spoke a little bit about the path that you were on yourself before you became who you are today, and I'd like to just recap a little bit about who you are and where you've come from over the last few years for our new listeners, for everyone who doesn't know you.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you were working in the entertainment industry as an entertainment manager, and you also worked as a tax accountant, I believe, for
right,
entertainment,
that's correct,
entertainers.
Yeah.
And one day, out of the blue, something quite extraordinary happened to you. Would you please just let the people out there
who
haven't heard this story, would you share that with them, please?
Absolutely. Well, you know, certainly looking back at my process of evolution, it's become a lot clearer to me that there really is a process and a science to human evolution and the ascension process. So I was going through an awakening process, and I was being introduced to my ascension, but at that time, I really didn't understand that, of course, because ascension is 99% emotional and mental clearing, basically. So we have to go through a complete dismantling and, you know, shedding of all old identities, everything we thought we were. And so I had reached a point in my life where I knew that my heart was not getting fed. I was feeling a sense of confusion and void and sadness in my own heart, which I could definitely distinguish, because I felt trapped by circumstances in my life that I did not know how I arrived at. You know, I had felt that I had always kind of gone about, you know, with sort of sincerity and integrity of wanting to kind of do the right thing. And I ended up in a situation where I was working a job that absolutely didn't feed me. I was in a relationship that I felt horribly trapped in because I was a caretaker and nursemaid to a husband that wasn't functioning. And I really felt like a shell of a person. The creative passion in me was not getting explored nor, you know, cultivated in any way. So I am prime pickings at this point for a spiritual awakening, because this is basically the constructs of which we find ourselves in a third dimensional identity when we have followed what seems practical, what seems logical, what seems like the prudent thing to do. This is the world of the ego, of human order, of societal programming, of ancestral programming, of what the expectations of our beloved ones around us, our biological families, our partners, the expectations that they have for us. And this is obviously when we haven't explored or grounded enough of our own identity to truly know what is fulfilling and happy for us as a being without attachment to others' judgments about us. And so being, of course, a Libra, that's really hard, because Libras too, like most people though, but Libras too are very sensitive to being judged externally. They like to create happy, happy environments and keep everybody in harmony and really abhor confrontation. And so I was getting put into the biggest test of confrontation and needing to really explore that aspect of my own creative potential. So this period of time was what I call the dark night of the soul. My marriage was ending. My career was non-existent. Not that I wanted to revive it, but I didn't know at the time what I was to do, you know, for an income or a career or, you know, again, what was I to do to define myself? So I was going through a complete reordering and a complete reconstruction and being dismantled of all of the identity structures that I was Jack's daughter and, you know, so-and-so's wife and, you know, all the things I had labeled myself as were not truly me. And I was in the discovery of that stark realization, which when you go through this at the time can be pretty emotionally devastating. And this is why I want to share this, because in the seeds of this experience is the biggest and most profound blessing that you will ever experience. So to anybody listening to this, I really want to share, if you're in a moment where everything in your life is being dismantled, please know that this is temporary. What's happening is that the structures that have limited you, that have disempowered you, are being taken away from your reality so that you can emerge into a new palette of your own creative inspiration. And I promise you that it's temporary. So know that this is an exacting part of the ascension and spiritual awakening process. It's very important to understand that. So in the midst of this dismantling process, myself, I went through a Kundalini awakening. Now, what Kundalini is basically spiritual vertical current that is coiled up in the spine at the base of the tailbone. Now, at this point in my life, I did not have the awarenesses that I do now, and I actually did not even know what the word Kundalini was. So I have really been on a crash course of downloading and instruction since this period of time, about 8 years ago. So I had a Kundalini awakening, and through this awakening, I went through a lot of physical changes. I had a lot of symptoms that were very drastic and at times painful. I had periods of time where I was sweating profusely, where I would lose a ton of hair on top of my head. My hair would fall out into large clumps. I would have, you know, lots of rashes on my skin, and all of a sudden acne showed up. I never had a pimple on my face, and all of a sudden I was covered with cyst-like acne. I mean, it was pretty horrific. But at the time, and this is, again, why I want to share this, is you don't have to go through this when you understand what's happening. Because I was getting so lit up with Kundalini. And what I would do, instead of understanding how to ground it and manage it and give my body a rest, what I would do is go meditate some more. And I'd bring in more energy. For some reason, I thought that that was the answer, but actually what was happening is I was just a walking Roman candle, you know, not having any clue or technology, let's say, like yoga. You know, if I had known how to use yoga, if I knew how to control my breath, if I knew how to use supplements like I do now, I really do feel that none of that really would have happened to me to the extent that it did. And that's why, again, of course, I like to share all the information that I do have, because when your body's going through that transition, there's a lot you can do when you know what to do. So during that process of time, I became introduced to the invisible realms. And my guides were extremely loving and starting me out very slow.
Now, before you go any further, can you explain exactly how it was that you were able to interact with your guides for the first time?
Sure. Well, really it was impulses. And I have to tell you that at the time, you know, having the tax accountant brain and being somewhat, you know, left brain, I really was doubting what I was feeling at the time. And, you know, it was a very scary process for me at that time, because I was getting impulses and information. I would call it in a clear sentient way. And this is important to talk about too, because most people think, because of the information that comes through me, that I am like incredibly clairaudient or clairvoyant, and that's not necessarily the case. I cannot always, like, say, control or govern the space that way. It's like when information comes to me, it comes to me in all kinds of different ways. And this is what was happening to me then, was that I was getting impulses. And I think the first contacts were in dream state. So they were attempting to, I think, not scare me and to be able to communicate with me like in a dream or meditative state. And so I do remember what one of the pinnacle moments that was very profound and changed my life forever, because all of my self-doubt went out the window when this occurred, is I was in the dark night of the soul, so it was very, you know, there were times I was very upset, and so I happened to be in a, you know, crying jag, and I was very upset, and I was feeling very alone, and I called out to my guides, and I was crying, and I said, you know, if you're there, come hold my hand. And I kid you not, that's exactly what happened. Not only, and this is when I realized I had four guides, because not only did they hold my left and my right hand, then the other two guides went and held each of my feet. And it's very hard to, again, when you relay this, it's hard to express the emotion involved. But that was the moment that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that what was happening to me was real.
And so you actually felt their hands as if they were physical hands.
Yes. And I could actually see the outline as well. So I could see like an outline of fuzzy energy in a hand shape holding my hand. And I mean, it was pretty mind-blowing at the time, but I was so overcome with emotion. I mean, you just don't have any analytical filter to shut it off anymore, you know, because I was so overcome with emotion in that situation. And really, because, you know, when we go through this process, you know, again, you know, and I do encourage this, you do not want to trust anything blindly. You need to verify and go through your process as assimilating your own truth of resonance. And sometimes when you are being exposed to new concepts and new experiences, these mystical experiences, you know, you have to kind of step back from it and process it a bit. You know, until you really develop your higher sensory perception and you've got it really anchored in your beingness. But I'm talking from the newbie standpoint. If you're newly awakening, I understand the self-doubt. We go through the self-doubt back and forth because at some point we have to verify what we're experiencing. And that's important. You need to verify it and not just trust anything blindly, because this is your truth. And we're getting to a point where each one of us is assimilating our own truth of being, and it's coming from experience. It is not a concept. It's not an intellectual process. It's a beingness. It's an experience. And so, you know, it's very hard for me to describe to people, because you can't give this through osmosis, you know, but a lot of people will say, well, you know, they'll ask me a question like, so what about your belief system? And I can't, you know, I have to say, this isn't a belief system for me. This is an experience. You know, I can't relay as an intellectual thing. I mean, I've gone through this process the last 8 years, developing the verification and the trust with my own higher self and these beings that I'm in communication with. And it's now to the point where our communication and connection is a truth for me. It's a part of my essence. It's no longer an intellectual concept that I am trying to disseminate, you know? And so that's why I am the ascension now, because I have now, it has become a part of me, this system and process is now completely my experience at every moment of my life.
One of the things that my yoga teachers always liked to tell me was, don't take on anyone else's truth don't call anything your truth until you've lived it.
Right.
You know, because, and that's exactly the same as what you've just said. It's an experience, and then you can really speak to that and say, well, this is real for me.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I know it's hard for a lot of people to believe, because it has been a pretty radical process.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and the other thing too is that it would probably be a good time at this juncture to just say, look, this is your reality. It doesn't have to be anybody else's reality. We all have a personal reality, and there's this other kind of greater reality that we share and have consensus agreements about. And so when someone has an experience and it's real for them, no one else can really sort of take that away from them, because it's not maybe their reality.
Right.
But it's
right.
That person's who's had that experience. Do you see what I'm getting
exactly.
at?
Absolutely.
And, you know, when I kind of got my head around that too, I let go of so much, you know, frustration and anger I was carrying, because people either couldn't see what I was trying to explain to them and didn't get it, or vice versa.
Right.
And it's a very liberating place to be in, when you can just accept what everyone else says is their truth is their truth.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Absolutely. And that's the gift we have, I think, in consciousness here. And what kind of defines this new paradigm is that, you know, we are all here to integrate, you know, the fabric of our truth, and then unite the common threads. You know, this is what, you know, unity and diversity means. You know, I really think that that's kind of the theme of where we're going, and also achieving, you know, more tolerance and acceptance of each other as we go through a really interesting time of exploration in human consciousness right now.
Yes, unity in diversity. That's, I think, not just a theme for where we're heading, but where we've come from too, and how we've gotten to here, and how hopefully we'll transcend where we are at the moment, regarding the polarity that we see and experience in the world around us.
Yes, yes.
And unity and diversity brings me to, you know, wanting to discuss your work with Starseed and Indigo Typings, which was another subject that we covered during the first conversation that we had with each other. And I would love to pick that up again with you during this one, because you continue to do your work with, you know, explaining that there are these different races coexisting here on planet Earth.
Yes, exactly.
And would you please enlighten us a little bit more about that, and particularly about genetic path cutting. Sorry. About genetic path cutting, because that's something that you wrote about towards the end of last year that was really utterly fascinating to me.
Yes. Well, first in going into genetic path cutting, and I think that is a really important thing to discuss, and again, I can express this from my own experience, and again, the patterns that I have viewed, and of course the Council of Guidance that have explained that this is a part of some of us have here soul agreements with specific contracts to work with various levels of clearing old cellular patterns that have been held in the human species DNA, and consequently as well the planetary grids. So because we are, as a part of the human species, a part of the Earth is us. So the grids, the way the grids work, these layers and matrices of fields that hold instruction sets, not only for our energy fields as we are energy beings, but also as we are then connected into larger unified fields, it's all connected. So a genetic path cutter has come here with a unique contract to actually transmute through their own energy center a certain percentage of the demographic that they have been, let's say, seated in or find themselves in. Sometimes you may have, like, say, a genetic path cutter with an Indigo 1 contract, who Indigo 1s are a particular soul that are here with expertise to work on the energy meridians and ley lines of the planet. So this has been, you know, apparently their expertise through multidimensional timelines. They come here with specific awareness, whether it's, you know, consciously at the personality or not, really doesn't matter. Because even though we don't always realize it, when we are sleeping, we are doing all kinds of work. So an Indigo 1, at whatever level of consciousness it may be at in the time-space continuum, still when it's asleep, even though the personality isn't aware of its agreements and contracts, through sleep state, that being is doing all kinds of work on the planetary grid. So it's really interesting how much we actually are working when we think we're sleeping. So genetic path cutter, again, what I have found most commonly is that there's, at this particular time and space and what's happening with the planetary ascension, that virus holds a really important clue and really important part of unlocking old DNA patterns that are being burned through actually the grid memories of the cellular system of the Earth and through our own bodies. So most commonly what I have seen is genetic path cutter agreements with virus contracts. And so what that means is that when there is virus in a particular area, and we could say, I could kind of give an example of my own experience, and this is one of the ways that I found out about genetic path cutting, is that during this particular time we've got a lot of different dynamics. There are things such as chemtrails and kind of, you know, pollutions that are airborne, as well as, you know, imbalances in the human race in its relationship to Earth and being in harmony with nature. This is how these diseases and imbalances were actually created in the human species, because our original DNA wasn't including disease. So basically, as distortions that have existed from imbalances in human behavior, from being disconnected or the perception of being disconnected or separated from God's source, these aberrations and imbalances started to manifest into the physical realm and start to affect the DNA and genetics and the original template structures that govern the physical forms into manifestation. So another part of the ascension is actually healing and clearing those distorted template bodies into their original divine union and divine patterning status. So the genetic path cutter can be working with virus primarily. And another kind of interesting correlation I found with virus is that, I mean, one of my researches with Oriental medicine, the Oriental medicine actually has energy vibration signatures assigned to each of the organs and certain, you know, elements and things. And I saw the correlation to virus was actually ego transcendence, and I thought that was utterly fascinating.
That really is.
Isn't that just amazing? So with virus, and I do, you know, a few years ago, my guides also, I do remember getting a snippet of data where they said something, you know, like, there's going to be a lot more hybridized, you know, virus and viral patterns and things happening, you know, as we move forward in this evolution, and that this is actually purposed to burn out distortions in the ancestral levels of the genetics of the human species. So not only are we clearing, let's say, from our own bodies, so most of the, let's say, the star races, the indigo family with genetic path-cutting agreements, those that are here are clearing it through the seven layers of the ancestral line. So as you are clearing, let's say, genetically certain like viral patterns or imbalance patterns of what would appear at this level to be a disease pattern, but actually what that disease is, and it's very important to remember, is it's just imbalanced energy. That's all it is, and you can balance it.
Yes.
Once you understand that's what it is. I think we get so much in fear about disease that we forget what it actually is, you know?
Especially
lately,
yeah.
Yeah. So what you can do is when you realize that there is an energy and an emotion associated with this illness, by clearing that emotional block in your own body, you can clear the imbalance and disharmony of that disease pattern out of the genetics through the ancestral line. And that's what genetic path cutters are doing here. And so I have found it interesting in, you know, the light worker community and the star family community, because there are some of those souls that are very, very affected by the planetary shifts and the moving energies. I mean, some of them can be almost incapacitated. They have a very difficult time functioning in their physical because of their sensitivity. And then I have those in between, and then I have those that are completely non-affected by any of the shifts. And so I find that generally the beings that are much more affected by all of the shifts and changes of ascension and the ascension symptomology are the indigo type ones, and especially the indigo type ones that have genetic path-cutting agreements, because they are more in tune to the planetary grids and have specific contracts to work with those planetary grids in either healing or clearing or, again, doing this genetic path-cutting work. So
for those people who aren't quite clear on what an indigo is, would you just briefly explain what you mean by that and how indigos relate to soul groups?
Sure. Well, and two, I mean, to suffice in our conversation is really not adequate when we talk about an indigo, because an indigo is kind of really a blanket term, you know, to describe a certain being that is manifest on the planet now, a certain soul that is here now to achieve certain objectives in the, you know, in the consciousness shift and change. So when I say indigo, a lot of the time I will use it interchangeably with starseed. But actuality, starseeds, you know, the way that I would define a starseed is really a being with an advanced genetic kind of package and template that has come to be on the planet Earth at this particular time-space continuum because we knew at this time of ascension on the planet that we would have an extreme opportunity for the quantum growth and healing of the human species. So there were races of star beings that came to incarnate on the planet Earth, and we came incarnated in groups and in certain, you know, this is very much a scientific process is what I'm trying to get at, because every being has a very particular energy signature, a very unique type of brand of energy, of DNA, of light packets, of coding, and of a particular template structure. So the human, to help understand why the indigos are here, we need to understand that the human race was actually designed by original divine human blueprint to be a 12-strand DNA avatar. And so the human race, and this would probably take a whole other conversation and discussion about, you know, hidden human history and our relationship with our star family and all of that, but basically what happened through a series of events and some cataclysms is that the human race and the human species started to degenerate and digress and came to a certain level of losing its ability to fully be again in its 12-strand DNA potential. So a new seeding ensued, let's say a seeding of the human race on the planet Earth was really a rescue mission and a plan to reassemble all of the DNA strands and the active, let's say, library of light codes of genetics that had been compiled by the planet Earth, or the Earth and the human species, because the Earth and the human species are an amazing amalgamation of genetic material. One of the purposes that has been described for planet Earth is that the planet Earth and human species was designed to be an integration point for all of the genetic races existing in this particular universal structure or this time matrix structure. Because there were imbalances and some conflicts embroiled in certain dimensional planes, the founders actually created a planet of which the goal was to integrate almost like a rehabilitation of all species to be fully in union so that any kind of, let's say, race discrimination would be completely merged into union. You know what I mean? Because the cellular system would feel its genetic connection to all of these races, and it would be a means of healing through the transformation of love through the heart center. And that's what the heart chakra and the heart energy was designed, and planet Earth was designed as kind of the planet, I know it sounds funny, but of unconditional love, because the actual energy source, when we're talking about energy spectrums having certain characteristics or attributes, this planet was a second ray planet, which was the creational theme was love and wisdom, and it was really learning how to use the power of love in transformation and healing. And that's what planet Earth's sort of creational theme was. And originally, you know, with the plan of really helping beings to have the experience of integration and healing by, again, healing all kind of differences. And what I said, actually, the unity and diversity. It was creating the union from a diverse amalgamation of genetic codes that at some point in the history of the time matrix had actually conflicts had surfaced that they wanted to heal. So there was a lot of conflict about the Earth in that particular plan, and a lot of energies, let's say certain races of beings were supportive of this project and others were not. And so through the type of history and cataclysms and things that occurred anyway, the human race went through, and we could call it a fall, but it's a fall from the 12-strand DNA and came into a lower dimensional aspect. And so I would say the Earth now, the planet of which we are having this particular focus of consciousness right now, is the furthest away from, let's say, the octave of it's the densest layer in the time matrix that you can exist in consciousness. So we can't get any more dense. and be a soul, basically, is what they've actually tried to describe to me, is that this is spirit in its densest form. So when we came here, it was quite a project to actually maintain a connection to God and Source and the infinite stream of that oneness, and be in this particular realm where the density and the veils of the various matrices and frequencies were so thick that when we got here, we just felt completely abandoned and separated from God. And so, of course, that's been a huge pain in the soul of the human species race, is having felt abandoned and separated from its original source. And that's the perception that we've had here by actually coming into incarnation. So over the cycles of time of the human species, what we did is we created root races. And the goal was that each root race of the human species would have a particular plan. It would have a particular objective. One of the main objectives was to anchor in and activate DNA strands through each of the cycle of rounds of these cycles of root race evolution for the human race. So, and we had to do this because we were in the densest form of dimensional space. So it was impossible to, let's say, seed a 12-strand avatar being on the third dimensional Earth. It couldn't be supported.
And can I just pause there for a moment? Because I'm prompted to ask you about how Lemuria and Atlantean civilizations tie into this history.
Yep, you're so on it. That's, well, as it's been described, the Lemurian and Atlantean were root race cycles in the history of the human species, and these were two particular, we could say, events that occurred that we are healing now at this particular time and space during the ascension. And this is something I've talked about in my article called Seed Fears, where we are here at ascension as we are here to heal and reunite our multidimensional selves. We're healing deep fears of certain pain that happen in the root races during these certain cycles. So the Lemurian root race came in, I believe that was like the third root race came in, and it was a semi-etheric body. It wasn't quite the body that we have here now, but the Lemurian root race cycle was an amazing cycle because we had a lot of freedom and we had a lot of connection, but we had an agreement and a cataclysm occur that separated us from our all-knowingness. And what happened in the pain of that separation actually created a deep fear and schism in the soul that I would call the fear of betrayal or the fear of abandonment. So the Lemurian seed fear has to do with the fear of being sacrificed. And that was really what happened as consciousness when we came into a realm to experience creation. The emotion that God elicited as newly, you know, kind of, it was a new seeding of souls that had an experience of being, you know, in oneness and connected.
Right.
And then through this cataclysm was actually fully disconnected, at least in their perceived connection to Source, through this particular cataclysm. And so the group human soul had a huge wound with this. And the wound was around the seed fear of sacrifice, which led into the fear of sacrifice in the name of God and the fear of betrayal of God. So that was really, if we look at the past couple years of healing that we have been doing, as it's been playing out in our personal hologram, I am sure that many of us will relate to the abandonment betrayal scenario. And I really want to emphasize that this was something being brought to the surface to heal and clear and bring into neutrality that was directly related from the Lemurian root race cycle.
Mm.
So that was the Lemurian.
Yes.
And did you want me to talk maybe a little bit about the Atlantean?
We probably don't need to go right into it, but I just wanted to see how those fitted into what you were discussing with the 12 strands of DNA that
yes,
we're connecting
exactly.
Out.
Exactly. So that was, you know, in terms of understanding root races and the reassembly of DNA, and to just tie in the thread, that is what the indigos are here to do. The indigo family is a star family that basically is holding the divine patterning template of the original intention of the human species. So many of the indigos have full 12-strand DNA templates that aren't fully activated, but they are, like, say, assembled, and they are in the energy field. Where most of the let's say, the earth seeds, there's two types of beings that I call the earth seeds and then the star seed races, which include the indigos, is because of all of this sort of damage and disconnection, the 12-strand potential, if it wasn't kept alive by the indigo or star family races, by being incarnated in this dimension, we would have lost it as a part of the human species potential. So the indigos are here to keep the 12-strand DNA potential alive in the human race when we are only working with 2-strand DNA.
How amazing. And when you discuss 12 strands in the template, when they are reconnected, you're talking about this happening at an energetic level, aren't you?
Yes.
So
yes,
there's no actual 12 physical strands of DNA that are going to be reconnected.
Well, you know, how it's been described to me is that at this level of consciousness, what we are to be concerned with, because there's actually much more than that. I mean, we could get caught up in the story of, you know, 12 and
yes,
24 and 48 strands of DNA, and they actually, there are that many. But because of where we're at in human evolution and the species, what they have said to me is that to keep the 12-strand DNA template alive at this particular time space in human evolution is extremely important, and for us to be liberated from the frequency fence of the reincarnational wheel of the third dimensional Earth is very important. So the planetary ascension, to actually go through the liberation of planetary ascension, to be liberated from the reincarnational wheel into the lower form worlds, is what we're working for at this time. After we have reached that level of initiation and light accretion, what happens now is you start working with the 12-strand DNA.
Right.
So this is the body of my work, is to talk about the planetary ascension, the mechanics and science of what that means, and how to go through your own process in that way. And again, you can use a technical way, or you can use the path of the heart as well, because your higher self will know exactly what to do in terms of you know, bringing you through the ascension reality. But my kind of position is that it is much more effective if you are involved in your process. You can either let it happen as a passive kind of process, or you can be proactive and work with these forces so that you understand and comprehend what is happening to your body.
Well, energy always follows thought.
Yes.
And I guess for people who are particularly interested in wanting to be on an accelerated path, then yes, you need to be mindful of your thoughts and be focused and in the present, and you know, being as involved and engaged in this process as possible. And
yes,
that's where
I would agree.
And where you're so good at helping out.
Well, thank you.
Lisa, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
So we're speaking with Lisa Renee. She is based in Santa Monica, California, and you can find her on the web at www.energeticsynthesis.com. If you're interested in finding out more and maybe joining in the discussion after you have listened to this interview, then please go and check out Energetic Synthesis at Yahoo Groups, and you can join in the discussion and ask questions. There are many people in that group who are just amazing. I'm part of it, and I read the emails every day and see what comes through, and it's really incredible to see the level of intelligence and just the great love that exists within the group itself, which is a real testament to how you run the group as the moderator and founder. Lisa, we'll come back and chat about the Yahoo group when we return. This is Otherwhere, and you're listening to bbsradio.com.
staring at four walls. Time creeps as darkness starts to fall, anticipating what the night has in store. Gotta get on up and head on out your door. Take it away from the same old world, where the lovely children come and play till early. Music jumping off, you got to be on time. Don't wanna miss it. Show me your time. DJ's putting it down, bringing dope beats and all the fattest sounds, captivating your body and your soul. Lose yourself now, let your spirit take control. It's so hot in here, it's bound to explode. Join the masses, yeah, with your real soul. We're full of sanity, you are an ecstasy.
From Energetic Synthesis, and as a galactic emissary, when I want to get a handle on my hologram, I listen to Liz on Otherwhere on BBS Radio.
Online. Welcome back. You're listening to Otherwhere on bbsradio.com. Our guest this week, our first week back for the year, is Lisa Renee. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you.
Let's have a chat about Planet Lightworker magazine and the monthly reports that you deliver. They're
okay.
pretty fabulous, I've got to say, and I know that there are a lot of people out there who follow them and find that you always tend to be discussing things that are happening in their lives just to a T. How do you do that?
Thank you. Well, one thing I'm really clear about is that, you know, my information is certainly not for everybody. And I'm really serving a niche and a purpose for those beings that are really in the indigo or lightworker family. And to try and understand this is that the souls that are here with these particular soul agreements at this time of ascension are on a different timeline than many of what I would say the third dimensional beings. So it's really an energy signature that if you're attracted to this work, it's a very specific niche. And I'm very clear that at this time, you know, certainly this isn't, you know, sort of palatable for the masses at this time because we're also still a minority of consciousness that's emerging in the latest ascension wave. So it's really not meant to be, you know, let's say, a Doreen Virtue or Wayne Dyer, you know, kind of information that's much more broad and much more expansive. It's a little bit more specific, and it's directed specifically to those beings that have these particular soul agreements and contracts in this next part of our ascension process. So,
Can I just jump in there and say something about that?
Sure.
I think that if you happen to be, if you're one of the beings listening to this program right now, well, then you've magnetized this information to your field of energy. And therefore, these are the kinds of people that I believe you're referring to.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's all energetic resonance. In fact, one of the things that's been described as kind of a visual that was kind of funny for me is, you know, the guardian said, you know, like I have a little transmission beacon strapped onto myself, you know, and that little beacon sends out a particular energy signature, and you either resonate with it or you don't, you know, and if you do, then there is a piece in there for you in terms of your spirit, your soul, your higher self, your counsels are attempting to assist you with another level of information for your own awareness. So I'm very clear that that's the, let's say, I am serving the ascension timeline, and I am also serving what I would say the starseed and indigo family races. And that's very, purposed and specific in my work with the guardian.
Mm. So what are the current energies at the moment that we are kind of being bombarded by?
Well, most people have, those that are familiar with my work that have read the themes, you know, the themes every month in Planet Lightworker are really defining our Ascension Plan B in terms of moving towards these new multidimensional realities. And what they've been describing to me is that at the end of last year in December, I mean, and I'll try and keep it short because there's just so much going on, but we went through a reconnection and a type of upgrade in our energy field that at the time I didn't understand what it means, but it's really taken us into a, what I would say, leaving the third dimensional level of being and moving into the multi-dimensional level of being in a completely new way. And what I mean to say by this is that just since last year, I started to witness, you know, because I am an etheric surgeon, and I have the ability to read the multidimensional fields or energy fields. So normally when I would see an energy field, it would appear to me, you know, in an ovoid kind of shape, kind of oval, moving outward, you know, and I could sense the auric capsule in that particular oval shape, you know, moving outward and feeling the energies in between the membranes and layers of the auric system. And since last year, I have begun to witness these incredible shifts in the human energy field, and it has just, it's really been mind-blowing. So I'm observing these new energy centers, such as new chakras, And I'm also noticing that now the field of a 3D human is moving into a multidimensional human, and the shape of it geometrically is toroid. So the multidimensional anatomy, apparently, of a multidimensional human actually has a geometric sort of toroid shape. And a toroid, what that is it looks like it's a donut-shaped kind of object, and its surface is a torus, so it moves in and out of itself, and it looks like kind of a tube donut kind of shape. And actually, toroid is the shape as well as our universal structure. So what was fascinating to me is that in learning about these new multidimensional auric fields that the guardians were telling me, we are becoming our own universes, which was just really kind of profound to see that energetically for the first time.
And when you say see that, can you please be more specific and actually tell us, most of the time when you're working with people in this way, are you actually perceiving visually a change, or is it something more towards clairsentience where you can run your hands around the energy field and feel the difference there?
Well, you know, I think what they were trying to do is teach me something, because this is so completely new out of my experience that I actually saw this.
Oh, really?
So what I saw was that, now normally if I'm doing an etheric session, you know, and again, it's varying degrees with everybody. I just can't, you know, my level is being able to open it up and just allow whatever needs to happen to happen. And so every session is completely different for me in my experience and in my client's experience. But in November, I believe actually in December, I saw three beings with these multidimensional fields. And what was going on is they were showing me the mechanics of how it affects the energy field. So apparently what goes on in terms of a process from this model is that when a being has started to integrate to critical mass all seven layers and seven dimensions through the chakra system, so think of the seven primary chakras, and each dimension and field of spectrum of energy being reached to a critical mass and being held through those energy centers and in through the layers of the light body. So what happens is that when the body goes through ascension, the seven chakra layers, the membranes that separate the auric capsules, like the auric layers between each chakra, start to dissolve. And the column becomes sort of like one unified column. And simultaneously, there are two other chakras that I start to see activate, and they have defined these as the eighth chakra and the ninth chakra, and these are considered, they're not the primary chakras that are in sort of the physical layers, what's considered governing the physical layers. These are called morphogenetic field chakras, and so they seem to be governing this next level of the human species development in becoming multidimensional. So the eighth chakra exists between the heart and the throat center. It's around the thymus area. And it appears to me kind of like, at first when I started to see it, it looked like a little blue laser light. And what was interesting to view about this chakra is that it wasn't directly horizontal like the other chakras. Like the other chakras could move front to back, and they're directly, perfectly centered horizontal in the body off the main vertical current. These two chakras, the eighth and ninth chakra, the eighth chakra runs into the base of the head. Like it goes to the base of the neck from the thymus area. So it's like moving like an X through the head. It's really interesting. So, and the eighth and ninth chakras seem to work together. So the opening for the eighth is the thymus area. We could call it the thymus chakra. Mm-hmm. And the ninth layer, the ninth chakra, is where the medulla oblongata is at the base of the skull. Now, they've also referred to this as the atomic doorway. And what I have seen viewed in the ninth chakra is almost like it's the holographic projector of God's source. Yes, coming in through the consciousness, coming into the personality program.
Oh, wow.
It's wild. It is. It's like looking at, like, you know, if you're looking in a movie theater in the old time, you know, when you would see those projectors.
Yeah.
and you would see the light waves coming onto the screen. That's exactly what it looks like.
That is so incredible.
It's wild.
That just blew me right away. Thank you for sharing that. Wow.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, you must have moments when you think back about where you've come from and
oh
what you're
goodness.
Experiencing today
and the
incredible acceleration and the quantum leaps in consciousness that you've had to take since then. And what do you say to yourself when you just take a moment to reflect on all of this? Really, I want to know what you say to yourself.
You know, it's funny. I mean, I do have moments where there's just humor in it, you know, where it's like, you know, we're just not in Kansas anymore, Toto, you know? I mean, and it's true. I mean, I'm so thankful and grateful. I cannot even express the blessing and gratitude I have for being able to facilitate this work. I mean, I'm really just feeling incredibly blessed to have the communication I do with these beloved beings and to be able to experience this in a human body. And not only to, I've really felt a sense of my connection to my love for the human species as a race. And it's almost like now I am just fully overcome with my desire to be of service. And that has really just been probably the forefront emotion that I feel. And so right now, I have to say, that's really, you know, the drive behind everything I do is really about furthering consciousness and assisting people in a model that relieves suffering and isolation through their own process. Because, you know, this dialogue and information needs to be made available to us.
Oh, yes, it definitely does. You know, speaking about the blessing that it is to be able to do the work that you do and how grateful you are for that. I really feel the same sort of sentiments when I think about what I do and being able to produce this radio show. It's such a blessing for me to be able to introduce people like yourself to the listeners and to share anything that you have to share with them, because it is really worthwhile. And of course people will take what works for them. And I'm sure that the listeners out there realize that if they're not quite feeling everything, that that's okay.
Exactly.
And that they can just use what works for them, and really whatever happens to the rest will happen to the rest. And that,
right,
it doesn't really
right.
matter so much. It's about what you can get out of it. And if we could just kind of tie that back in to our conversation about the latest energy alerts and the current climate that we're dealing with. One of the things that you mentioned in the very latest one was discussing the role of higher emotional centres being opened and how we would be calm, or we are on a path to becoming much more deeply feeling beings.
Yes.
And it's an enhancement of our feelings, but we're also experiencing an enhancement of, you know, as we continue to grow, basically, we enjoy more peace, we enjoy more balance, greater health.
Yes.
I mean, the effects are multifold.
Right.
Tell us about how having deeper emotional, what's the right word? Is it responsive?
Higher sensory perception is what I call it. It's the higher sensory perception of a multidimensional human.
How does that affect us?
I really, you know, it's funny because I think, you know, with all of our talk about emotion, you know, emotion, I think we don't understand quite, I mean, we understand conceptually and intellectually what emotion is, but we don't truly understand the incredible, vast power of what emotion, human emotion, truly is. It is like one of the most powerful gifts of the human species, and that's something that the guardian races have often emphasized to me, that not all species of races have this. This is something very unique in the way that we are built and structured to actually have this particular level of experience and potential emotional faculty. So for me, you know, the human emotion as developed through our multidimensional anatomy, the more developed we become in our spiritual bodies. Because also as a reminder is to also remember that each level, and again we can use the chakra system as kind of our model, each level of the chakra, each level of our light body holds a mind matrix. And when we start to bring in that quality of frequency, it's also a quality of intelligence. It's a quality of the language of the heart, which is the creative intelligence forces of the entire universe, of the entire, you know, God oneness. As we work ourselves up through the octave system, we actually become more perfect in terms of our level of divinity and divine mind that we are actually anchoring into our beingness. So we tend to think of as intelligence as, you know, from an ego perception, and that's actually not really the true intelligence of the divine mind. The divine mind operates from the language of heart, a language of code. It's a language of feeling. And, you know, as we experience this, it will create new levels of what I call, you know, higher, and what's been termed by many, you know, higher sensory perception, that we're reaching new levels as we become more multidimensional in activating these aspects of our divine mind matrix that will start to communicate with us and through us in different ways as a part of our beingness. And it's not something you have to activate. It's like an attribute of these new forces. As the planet is now supporting new energetic forces, and as you are now, as a being individually, working with, you know, higher levels of intelligence through these spiritual bodies that you are beginning to activate and integrate into your beingness, this is one of the attributes of our multidimensional anatomy. We will start to experience direct cognition, direct levels of emotional intelligence that will far supersede anything that we have ever experienced as the human race before. And that's what the theme of 2007 is conscious co-creation. As that word has been thrown around a lot in the quantum physics world and in you know, other of the metaphysical, you know, schools of thought and information. And they're basically saying that this year marks a completely new way for us. That conscious co-creation is going to have a significant new meaning to us in the way we are relating to the new physics of time and space in our upgraded reality and in our upgraded bodies. So I think we are left to a whole new kind of realm of experience and adventure this year. This year is starting to mark this sort of significant change in human evolution. And so for me, what's exciting is I actually got to witness the changes in the human field, you know, that I have never seen before. And we all know that this is going to have to drill down into the physical at some point.
Yes.
Because it's getting closer.
I feel
Okay, so let's just take a deep breath in our still point area. Let's kind of like just feel ourselves in our body in between the rib cage, taking a deep breath into the still point as we really connect into the center point of all union. And we also, we should do our little 12D seal and just connecting, and we can do that really quickly. Just bring your focus of attention into your third eye and spark your pineal deep in the center of your brain with a celestial Christ, pale silver light. See that flame emitted. We're going to send that flame now down the vertical central column. And we're going to connect into the Earth's 12th dimensional frequency hub, which again is on sort of horizontal surface. Many of us feel it sort of horizontally in front of us. Connecting to, again, the celestial Christ energy and allowing the feed line of the pale silver cord to be fully connected into our platform, connecting into our vertical central current. And allowing that energy to feed into our own personal field, dissolving any incongruency, bringing integration and harmony, the imprint of balance, back into the field. And they're taking me through an orbit, actually, so we need to increase the cycles per revolution. So feel the center point of your Hara line, that entire, the vertical central column. See a white light about 5 inches thick in your center column, moving directly straight, perfectly straight in the direct center of your body. And follow its line as it moves in an orbit. So as you follow the line out your legs, take it to a position about 12 inches beneath your feet. can bring that line up into an orbit. So you're creating a sphere of energy, and it's coming up through about 3 feet from the top of your head, and moving that energy down back into the center hara point. And do a few cycles of revolution, creating what's known as the macrocosm orbit. So we connect into the universal field, allow ourselves to be connected to the universal kundalini. And again, we call upon our beloved higher selves, the councils, the Sirian council, and our starseed identity matrix, those beloved beings in service, the light and law of one, to reweave, synchronize, and connect all that is needed in order of priority, to allow the wholeness made manifest and embodied now in service to the one self, God self. Beloved, thank you so much.
Down low.